It's Bashomania!
Let me tell you something, brother. He gave us everything he had in him tonight. What you gonna do when Bashomania runs wild on? Oh, it's gonna be a good one.
And business just picked up here on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And again, you're back with more accolades, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure. I'm enjoying some time in Florida right now with my brother. My birthday's tomorrow, and we're just getting ready to celebrate things.
Well, happy early birthday.
Thank you.
That's got to be exciting to win your second national championship and kind of celebrate that with your birthday in Florida. So yeah. I won't take up too much of your time because you are in Florida with your family, but I know that people want to hear from you. I was talking to a couple people today. They're like, oh, you're having Carr back on. Can't wait to listen. So let's talk about NCAAs a little bit, the season a little bit, and we'll let you get to the beach.
All right. Awesome.
Let's go through the NCAA tournament real quick. You start off with a quick tech, a quick major, typical David Carr. Now you get Dean Hamany in the quarters. You beat him 5-0, who, by the way, then loses to Olgenic in the backside, which is crazy for Hamany not to All-American. And then, boom, yesterday in the portal, today commits to Oklahoma State, where the guy who just beat him.
The guy who just coached. Yeah, they coached against them to beat him. Dude, this is craziness right now. So,
which is
crazy. I thought that was nuts. And he was actually winning. He was winning the match. And then Olenek, I think that's how you say it. I don't know how to pronounce his name. But he was coming back on him and beat him. And then he commits to that school, like, not more than, like, 2 or 3 days later.
It's crazy. And initially, when I was starting to, like, work on some questions for this episode, I was going to say, like, yo, Hamany, 165-pounder. Like, do you want him at Iowa State? Because he can fill in your spot. You'd have a training partner. And before we could even record, that question got answered. Like, nope, he's out. What'd you think of that match? You've had some close matches with him. It's definitely like, you know, you have the obvious, like, rivalry with O'Toole, but Hamany's such a stud, dude, and you've continued to shut him down.
Yeah, no, he's a tough opponent. Someone that is, like, he's always consistent, and he moves forward a lot. So, yeah, that match, like, the last time he wrestled, it was 2-0. And it was like a riding time point and escape. But I was close to getting some back points and a takedown, but both of those things didn't happen. And so that next match, I just wanted to sharpen up my things as far as takedowns and just the technique aspect, and I was able to do that.
Yeah. And then the semifinal match, you know, obviously this was one of the most anticipated matchups of the weekend. And over the past couple of months, I've even said, like, it's so crazy that you and O'Toole could be a semifinal. And here, you know, what a rivalry, where going into it, you had both won 2-2. You both won two matches. This was the rubber match. This was the finale for the best of five series. Talk me through kind of that match. And then really, I mean, you saw the graphic I shared. Like, that rivalry is one of, if not the greatest college wrestling rivalries of all time. You guys split matches at Big 12s, you split matches at NCAAs, and then you have the rubber match at NCAAs here, your senior year. Like, what did that rivalry mean to you? And kind of take me through that match a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, first off, hats off to Keegan O'Toole, someone who is, I enjoy competing against because he consistently makes me better. I'm always going back and thinking about what I can do better, what adjustments I can make. Just having a guy like that at your weight, a two-time national champ, someone who's bonusing people, cradling everyone up. You know, it's a guy that I had to go in the practice room every single day and think, man, I have to wrestle this guy. So I need to get ready. I need to get strong. I need to get in shape. My technique has to be on point. So, going into that match, knowing that this is the last time I'll wrestle in college, I'm sure we'll wrestle more in freestyle, but in college, this is the last match of our series as far as folk style wrestling in college. And so it meant a lot to me. I did a lot of thinking, a lot of strategizing as far as, like, making the adjustments from the last time we had wrestled. And then it came to the match, and just just let it fly. And it was a crazy back and forth battle. I thought it lived up to the hype and was able to get the win.
And it's funny because, you know, there's such parity between like Carter and Rocco Welch in the next match that were like crap talking a bit on social media. And you see, like, it had much more of an MMA style buildup to it where they're like, yo, I'm going to take your head off. I'm going to piss on your grave. Like, there's all sorts of MMA level. Yeah. But with you and Keegan, like, even Keegan's his interview afterwards, like, you feel for the guy. It's not like you're, you know, as a wrestling fan, you're like, man, you want Keegan to win. You want Carr to win. Obviously, I'm Team Carr. I make no mistake about that on this podcast. Somebody asked me, you know, you even said, sorry, I had to do it to your Penn State guys. It's like, listen, I'm Team Carr. I make no secrets about that. And it is crazy because now you guys, in theory, could wrestle at the Olympic trials, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But, all right, so you take out Keegan O'Toole, and now you're into the NCAA finals. Your third finals appearance, you won one, you lost one, and this was the rubber match for your record in the NCAA finals. And you do have a Penn State guy. You have an undefeated Messenbrink, who I had said with both Messenbrink and Trent Hidley, if either of them were to beat you or Aaron Brooks, in my mind, that gives them the Hodge. If either of those two undefeated guys could take out those weights, I'm like, that would be incredible.
Yeah.
So you go into that match and, you know, Messenbrink has this gas tank. Messenbrink has, you know, you said it in the post-match after you won, like, you know, somebody asked what's so difficult? Why is he so tough? And like his attitude, like he enjoys wrestling so much. He smiles. He has fun. It's hard to beat a guy like that. What was your perspective going into that match? And did you know you wanted to hit that sick blast double?
Well, when you got JB on the mic, you got to hit a double leg. That's what I thought. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of props to him. You know, as a Christian, you know, I don't have any enemies. I choose to love everyone, and I choose to love everyone and enjoy competing. I love wrestling tough opponents. I love getting ready for the big match. Like it gets me so excited. And so having him, you know, I hadn't wrestled him before. He's undefeated. He wrestles a hard pace, but for me, that's like the Iowa State style that we wrestle in the room. We wrestle balls to the walls. I don't go as forward as much. I'm a little bit more finesse, a little bit more angles, and he's a little bit more forward, and then hit his attacks. So I was excited for that clash of styles, and he's funky, just like O'Toole. He can scramble and stuff too.
What'd you think of those three stall calls?
To be quite honest, I didn't agree with them.
I didn't either.
Just watching back the match, the first one was okay, warning me. He was shooting a few shots. He said, I thought that one was okay. I thought the next one, I had shot him out, and he called in. He was like waving to stop the match because he had hit his eye or his cheek. And so I was like, okay, I told the ref, I said, hey, that's injury time. I'll choose down. And then the ref said, no, that's my time. But it wasn't his time because he stopped in the middle of action. I'm like going to try to take him down, and he's stopping the match. And so I thought that was weird. And then the next thing I know, I was like, all right, I'm going to go get one. And literally 2 seconds later, I'm in on his leg. And as I'm in on his leg, the ref called me for stalling. And I was like, dude, I haven't taken a step. I just, not only did I shoot him out of bounds, so that should be stalling on him, I just shot again within 4 seconds of each other to take him down. So then they gave him a point. And then the next time I escape out of bounds. So I'm escaping out of bounds and I'm getting up, and he just walks closer to me to like close the space so we can start in the middle. And then they call me stalling for that, for escaping out of bounds. I was already out of bounds. I don't know. Like, am I supposed to run inside the bounds? I don't know what I was supposed to do there. I was just getting a fresh start. And then the last one, I was letting him go for escape. And then they call me stalling for me letting him go. And it was crazy.
As a Penn State fan, like, I do love what he brings to the table. His energy, he's so fun to watch. And this was like, you know, obviously I'm a Penn State guy, but I'm a my guy thing first. And so I'm rooting for you, and I'm watching these little these like nuances that I don't normally see. And it's like, I don't know if you remember it, but he got you to the edge and he basically, you were both out of bounds and he kind of got in stance, like, let's go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this boy, he's just ready to go. What'd you think of that?
I liked it. He was like, he was kind of like talking to me during the match and like clapping and waving his finger. A lot of like, and I was like, I've never wrestled someone who loves wrestling this much. Like, I love wrestling. But I try not to like show how much fun I'm having. Like, he was genuinely having fun. And not that I wasn't having fun, but I was like, man, this dude is like, he's loving right now. So yeah, I was like, that's what I like to see. I like to see that.
I was talking to a couple people, and one comment somebody made was like, I'm curious to see how he reacts here, Messenbrink, if he loses. Because he hasn't lost all year, you know, and if you lose your first match in the NCAA Finals. And I thought he handled it well. Like, he was kind of playing during the match with the antics and this and that. And I don't think it was disrespectful at all. I think he was having fun in the match. And I thought he handled it great after. So, and I think David Taylor tweeted it best. He's like, you know what? People are going to, you know, fear. And when Messenbrink, you go to toe the line with him for the next 3-4 years, like, you know you're going to be in for a battle. Because his gas tank is... Did you feel that towards the end of the match? Like, this kid's gas tank is crazy?
I loved the effort in the wrestling. But I definitely, like I think on the broadcast they're talking about, maybe I was a little tired. But I felt like I could have wrestled for, like, 10 more minutes. I felt like, even if it went to overtime, I was like, dude, this is what I trained for. This is what we work hard for. We don't just practice to practice. We practice for situations like this. We want the battle. Mm-hmm. Our coach tells us that we're the firemen, and when the heat turns up, you just stay in there. You just stay in the heat. You handle it. And if it went 10 more minutes, I could go 10 more minutes. And so I did like the pace that he brought. Like I said, like, I like the wrestle high pace. It just looks different. Like, I just don't go forward as much. I just kind of take, like, shots. Like, in the match, I took more shots than he did, if you go back and count them. But he was just more forward, and I was on the edge a little bit.
Yeah, DC, Cormier kept saying, like, Carr's looking at the clock, Jordan. You see Carr looking at the clock, Jordan? I'm like, should he not be aware of the time? Like,
dude, I've lost matches because, like, I'm not aware of how much time's left. Like, say someone gets on your leg, it's kind of good to know, okay, there's like 10 seconds. I need to fight this hard as heck for the next 10 seconds. Or there's 30 seconds I need to go get a takedown. And ultimately, me knowing the situation, me looking at the clock, that's what won me the match. I knew I had the riding time. I knew the exact situation I'm in. I know that if he shoots a bad shot, I'm ready to re-attack. So all these things is just that relaxed awareness of, okay, I know the clock. I know the time. I know what he's going to try to do. These are the things that were important details that won the match.
Yeah, and it didn't look like he – it looked like he forgot that you had the riding time point locked, because he was kind of like – at the end looking like, okay, we're gonna go into overtime, and then you saw it click like right after.
It seemed like there was some confusion there. For me, I'm like, it was 2 minutes and like 20 seconds. I don't know how you forget the riding time, because we spent a lot of time riding and scrambling on the top and bottom. But when you're in a heated match like that, you know, it can kind of free your mind a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I got to ask, you know, you went first, third, second, first, and I think people forget that the first time you won a national championship was in 2021. There was no fans. How much better was it having that arena full, winning that second championship?
It was crazy. It was so loud. It was just something that you dream of, having it crowded, having the fans yell, having the family mat side. Super special, because when COVID happened, they couldn't be mat side. They were in the stands. Couldn't celebrate with them. I couldn't give them a hug, you know, with all the COVID tests. So, you know, afterwards, obviously, I found them, but the COVID year. But it was really special just to be able to see my dad right before I wrestle, and be able to see my parents and my family.
Yeah, Flow Wrestling asked a question today that I'd love to get your take on. They said, is David Carr and Nate Carr the greatest father-son duo the NCAA has ever seen?
That's a cool compliment. I don't know. There's a lot of good father-son duos. I know there's only – my dad was telling me the stat as far as, like, there's only a few that are multiple national champs, father and son. And obviously, he has such great freestyle accolades as well, not even just college, the Olympics right. and work and stuff. But yeah, I think we're up there as far as the father-son duos. I think what's crazy is just you don't see a lot of father-son duos that go to the same school. As far as like this guy, sometimes they go to different schools and they do well. But to be able to go to a school, my dad's school, and to try to break some of those records he had, I thought that makes it special to me at least.
Now, he has one more NCAA title than you do. So do you have to get not only one Olympic medal, but one more Olympic medal? Does that then one-up him? If you get two Olympic medals, do you now overtake him in the family rankings?
Right now, that's my whole goal once I started wrestling is to be number one in the family rankings.
Right.
And right now, I'm still a national title shy. Can't do anything about that. I got to go outperform at the Olympics. And that's the goal, the Olympics and the Worlds, trying yep. to just – any accolades as I can to be.
What was his fourth? What was his fourth place at NCAA's? Because you got first, third, second, first. What was his fourth finish?
His freshman year, he didn't place, and they didn't do retrospective.
Oh, so I don't know. First, second, third. Over, you got four top three finishes. I don't know, Dave.
It could be a debate.
Yeah, this is going to be a good.
He only won two Big 12 titles, or they called it the Big 8 back then.
Yeah.
He lost to Kenny Monday twice, and I have four. So I told him, I was like, hey, I got four Big 12s. You got two.
Yeah, I mean, this is up for debate.
It's close. It's a close debate.
I think we're going to have an episode of Bashamania. Maybe we'll bring Chenzo on as the mediator from an athlete perspective. You, your dad, and we'll just hash it out. Before Thanksgiving comes up, you know, before all these holidays come up in the fall, let's hash this out now. Speaking of Big 12, when you were on here last year, you had mentioned how much you're like slipping into the team leader role. Like you went from being the guy, it feels like yesterday, to walking on the mat for the first time at Iowa State to now, like you're the guy, like you're the old guy. You're the guy now graduating. And I know that leading the team was real big to you. Being Big 12 champions this year, how much did that mean to you? You know, you guys were Big 12 champions, multiple AAs at NCAAs. How much does all that mean to you as you look back on your collegiate career and you think about not only what you did personally with your accolades, but what your team did and those around you did?
Well, just a testament of just the good grace of God, just so blessed to be in the environment of the coaches where they pushed me to lead mm-hmm. and love to help lead and be that guy. And also coming to Iowa State, the first thing I thought is, I mean, we had 1 point at the NCAA tournament the year before I got there. So when I got there as a freshman, they only scored 1 point.
Damn.
We were not very good. Our dual schedule, we might have only won two duels the year before. So I just remember thinking, like, before I leave here, I want to make an impact. I want to win a Big 12 title. I want to see what that feels like as a team. I want to be able to get a trophy at the NCAA tournament. And we were able to win that Big 12 title as a team with my brothers was just something I'll never forget. And something that I hold that high up there with accomplishments as far as individual. I think that's even cooler to win team stuff. And so to do that, that was huge. And I'll never forget it. Like, that was just something that I had always wanted. Like, I have a whiteboard, I put a whiteboard up in the locker room that says Big 12 team champs. And I posted it when we won. And the crazy thing about it is I put that in like 2020 or something like that.
Yeah.
And every year I was like, we didn't get it. All right, 2021 is our year. And I had to go, 2022, guys, I'm telling you guys, 2022. And I had to erase it. Well, I had to keep erasing that until we finally won. And we could come home in that locker room and just put the trophy there and say, hey, we did that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And you know we're going to talk about this one. So first, third, second, first place finishes at NCAAs. You've had a wild collegiate career, some highs, some lows. You've made it clear that your faith is at the center of it all. You make no secrets about that. Talk to me a little bit about that as you wrap up your college career now. You started as an NCAA champion. You lost in what, the quarters and then the finals, and then here you are finishing back on top again. Talk to me about the role your faith has played in that wild journey.
I couldn't have done any of this without my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like every day leading up to the tournament this year, just reading my scripture, just very encouraged by so many Psalms and Proverbs, and just knowing that my identity is not in wrestling, knowing that I'm just so free. So I'm able to learn things, and I'm able to make adjustments and not take things personally. And when you do that, it frees up the things of, I have to win, I have to do this, I have to do all these, I don't have to do anything. The only thing I need to do is worship God, believe in God, and know what kind of person I am in Christ. And so when I was able to do that, you know, learning those hard lessons, you know, getting upset at being the number one seed that year and then getting second, those hardships, they made my faith stronger, and they made me understand and love God more, because I knew that, man, even though this is hard, it's just wrestling. And it gave me perspective, like, man, this is just wrestling. And I liked what O'Toole said, actually. He said, like, if this doesn't matter in 100 years, then it shouldn't be the most important thing. And I agree. People are going to forget in 5 to 10 years if that I'm national champ. They're not going to really care about it. So I might as well focus on Christ and just loving my family, loving my teammates, and glorifying God.
Yeah, it's all true. My wife asked me if I wanted to meet her somewhere earlier with the kids, and I told her I was going through some things at the office and preparing for you to come back on. And she was excited, and she said the following right away. She said, I would love to know what God was speaking to him as he prepared for NCAAs. And I said, well, I'll ask the question.
Yeah. You know, he spoke a few things. I had a few God moments. As in, God moments is like things of, like, I feel like this is what God was kind of speaking to me at the time. And after Big 12, I just prayed, like, Lord, just give me wisdom. Lead me. There's some things I feel like I need to do before the Nationals. Just lead me. And I just kept praying that prayer. And this book had came into my mind called Failing Forward. And I had read this book a long time ago in high school. And it's a good book, but I hadn't read in a while. And so I ordered the book, and I got the audio. I read 12 chapters before I had gotten to that. And when I tell you, this book transformed my mindset and my perspective. And it just talks about the importance of, you want failure. You want to learn. You want to have those mistakes and learn from them, and take risk. And it just is such a good book, so many great perspectives on it. And that book really helped. And it's written by, I think the guy's like a pastor, or he has a lot of faith. So you're seeing scripture in the book.
Yeah.
And then my parents just praying for me. And then my parents just praying for me and things like that. It was just big. And so I just felt like God just told me just to have that peace and continue to, no matter what the result is, be content. And so I just wrote down, like, I write stuff in my headgear, and in my headgear, I tape in there, it says content. And then the other side just says, it's just wrestling.
Meaning, like,
the end all be all. This isn't the, you know, life or death. This is just a sport. This is a game that I love. And if I just focus on my attitude, my effort, and, having fun, those are the things I want to focus on rather than the result. I'll get the result I want. And so I'm not really worried about, you know, winning it when I got there at the national tournament, even though that was the goal. I was just focused on, let me be entertaining, let me go score points, let me be content, and let me just enjoy the process of me going to score points, getting out, doing all those things.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's a good perspective. So your college career is now over. First things first, I'm assuming you're sticking around Ames post-graduation, building that Cyclone RTC up?
Yeah, so right now I still got to talk to Dresser. We actually have a meeting this week. You know, the plan right now, as of right now, you know, I haven't talked to him 100%, but we talk all the time. But right now, the RTC and wrestling RTC, the Cyclone RTC, and then also maybe there'll be a position for me to be a recruiting coordinator or something like that.
Nice.
But I'm not, maybe a coaching / training type deal. So I'm not sure what the details are. We still got to talk about it and see how those things work out. But for sure, I think that's what I'm leaning towards, doing that and staying, you know, close to my family and my friends and training.
I love it. And then obviously you talk about training and competing. You really don't have much time to rest past the little beach trip tonight, beach tomorrow, and then it's Olympic trials. And my gosh, if you look at that field, it's like being an NCAA champ is the prerequisite for competing there. It's crazy. Yeah. From, you know, O'Toole and Messenbrink, you were just wrestling, to Burroughs and Dake and Nolf and, you know, all these guys. What's your perspective heading into the trials? I know you're planning on making it there next month. What's your mindset and perspective heading into it?
I'm super excited. You know, that's something that it's very important to me to put my best foot forward and to wrestle and go try to compete with those guys. And like you said, it's a very difficult tournament. And if anything, you know, anything worthwhile isn't easy. It's very hard and very difficult. And so, yeah, right now, I mean, I took a day or two off. I was on the mat running and working on my weight, making sure my weight's disciplined. I'm going to go get some sunlight, obviously, while I'm here in Florida and enjoy it. But 100% my mind is thinking about wrestling it. I'm still training and still getting ready for that. But, yeah, I think that like any tournament, you want to go to win and you want to go to just give it your best. You know, I just focus on just being my best me. Like I said, like with NCAAs, just focus on that process rather than the result.
Yeah. All right, couple fan questions, and I'm going to let you go. First fan question, is MMA in his future? I hope so. He'd be an absolute monster at 155. What is David Carr's official stance right now on him going into MMA?
Love MMA, 100%. But right now I got a lot of wrestling goals. I cross-train a lot. I try to do, like, boxing, jiu-jitsu around this time, like the summertime. I might even do a jiu-jitsu tournament this summer for fun.
Heck yeah. Love that. Love that. David Carr championship shirts was a question, but I see you just put those out with Spartan, so I guess that's a yes?
Yeah, just editing and tweaking some things. But, yeah, there's going to be some shirts out right away. I'll be posting about it in the next few days.
Love that.
Keep an eye.
Yeah, and I'll share those to the Bash Mania story as well as soon as those are out. One more. What is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Ever?
Ever.
Life or wrestling?
I mean, they left it open-ended. So, I mean, whatever.
Best advice I've ever received is give your life to Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior. And you have eternal life. And the scripture for that is John 3:16. You can look at the scripture. That's some of the best. That's the best thing I've ever done in my life. And the most important thing to me, as far as wrestling goes, believe in yourself, write down your goals, and train hard.
Yeah. All right. That's fan questions. David, I'm going to let you go. Enjoy the beach. Congratulations on an amazing collegiate career. Congratulations on your second NCAA championship. Congratulations on being born. Happy early birthday.
Thank you. I always appreciate coming on. I'm always wearing my Bash Mania shirt. And yeah, thank you again. And I really appreciate it.
Oh, I that to me too. Like when somebody said, like, listen, I know you're a Penn State guy, Messenbrink and Carr in the finals. Who you got tonight? I just quote tweeted it with the picture of you wearing a Bash Mania shirt. I'm like, look it. One guy is wearing Bash Mania. You tell me who I'm rooting for.
Stickers up on my fridge and on my computer. And people always ask me about it. I'm like, dude, I've been on there like 1,000 times. I love that.
Right. Yeah, hey, literally like 5 or 6.
A funny story real quick about, I don't know why this popped in my head, but so I was doing an RTC practice or something at Penn State, and I was working out with Chinzo. I think I'm a senior in high school or something. I don't know. I can't remember what. I think I was like a senior. I don't think I've been in college. And I'm like working out with him, and he was like, I hit like a double leg, and I hit it like fast. We're like kind of drilling or play wrestling, and he was like, I don't know how he just stopped me. He's like, listen, dude, I don't know how you don't win every match with just a double leg. He's like, that's the fastest double I've ever fought. He was like, dude, you're crazy. Like a high schooler. I'm talking about high school. Like, you're crazy. I didn't really hit it that much. And then now I've kind of developed it a little bit more. I've hit it a lot more. But I always remember that conversation I had with them, and I thought that was funny. I wish he was on the show because I could tell him that, but that was a cool compliment. I was like, oh, I didn't really think about that, but it was cool.
I think he has practice right now because I was trying to see if I can get him on, and I know he's got the last chance qualifier next week, and so I try not to mess with his practice schedule too much. But, yeah, man, I really want you guys – I got to get to the seeding committee. If the seeding committee is listening, please don't put Carr and Chenzo, if he's at the Olympic trials, on the same side of the bracket. Please.
Yeah.
I'm bringing my son to the Olympic trials. I do not want to have to both congratulate the winner and console a loser very early in the tournament. So please, opposite sides of the bracket. I don't make that many requests.
That's funny.
Yeah. All right, David, enjoy Florida. Thank you for taking a half hour and coming on the podcast. I know a lot of people wanted to hear from you, so I'm always grateful to have you on here. So, all right, man, enjoy Florida, and, of course, we will talk soon.
Appreciate it. Have a good one.
And the beat goes on.